It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, friends. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to this week's Outdoor Show here on KETR that we've been doing every week for about, gosh, I think about 8 years now. It's been a long time. I've had a lot of fun visiting with you, and I get a lot of emails from you. By a lot, I mean three or four a week, depending on what topics we're talking about. But remember, you can always contact me through catfishradio.org, O-R-G, catfishradio.org. And you can learn a lot about what I do, actually read some of the newspaper articles I write, and even watch the, there's a spot there where you can click and watch A Sportsman's Life there on catfishradio.org. That's a weekly video show that my buddy Jeff Rice and I do. We've been doing it for a little over a year now, every week. We don't always kill a big buck or shoot a hog or catch a big fish, but we do take you with us with these little videos, and they've become fairly popular. A lot of people are watching them. They're on YouTube, you know, and you can search them out, A Sportsman's Life. But the easy way to find them is just go to catfishradio.org. You know, earlier this week, I had an awesome crappie fishing trip down at Lake Fork, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that, and then we're going to talk a little bit about cooking fish here in a bit in today's show. But Seth Vanover is a longtime friend of mine. Seth's son, Evan, gosh, I was fishing with Seth when Evan was just in diapers. But so Seth and I go back to actually the days when he first began guiding years ago down at Lake Fork. But I went down to Fork and fished with Seth and Evan and my daughter's father-in-law, Phil Zimmerman, who's a great friend. And Phil went down with me and was exposed for his first time to the live scope. And the live scope kind of dominated what I've been writing about this week in my newspaper columns. If you've never seen a live scope, the best way to describe it is if you could jump out of the boat, have an aqua lung on or whatever, walk around and look and be able to see underwater, that's the way I describe a live scope. It shows the fish, it shows the structure, it shows your bait in relation to all that. And I won't say it's something that you just mount on a boat and instantly you're a pro at it. Seth makes part of his income, you know, guiding people and using this live scope several times a week. So he is a master at it of interpreting what it's saying. But basically, you turn it on, it'll show you how deep the fish is, how far out, which direction. In other words, we were using these, I think it was a 12-foot Wally Marshall Pro Series rods. And Seth would literally say, you see that fish right there? He is 3 foot out from the boat, or he's 8 foot out, and he's 12 foot down. Now watch the live scope screen, and you'll see my jig go down. You'll see, and we, of course, we all did this, but this was when he was instructing, Phil. I'd seen it happen, seen it in action before, but you watch that jig go down and hold it just in front of that crappie, and you can actually see the crappie make the move and strike the jig. It is absolutely amazing. But Seth would pull up to a piece of structure, it may be 15, 18 foot deep. It could be an old submerged tree, a lay-down tree on the bottom of the lake, or it could be a man-made brush pile, you know, whatever. But, you know, crappie relate to structure. And he would actually turn the live scope on and scan it. Look at it first, and if it wasn't holding a concentration of crappie, we'd move on to the next. Now, technology has really advanced in fishing. Spot lock is it's tied into GPS, but you just hit a spot you want to keep the boat at on spot lock, the boat will automatically stay there. No anchor, no power poles, nothing like that. It will stay where you want it to. So what is kind of windy, well, really a little bit too windy for our filming. It really messed up our sound out there on the water. But Seth would put the spot lock on, And that boat, it would stay right over that spot we where the crappie were below. And then it was a matter of just targeting. A lot of times he would look at the screen on the live scope, pick out the bigger crappie. Usually he would do that if there were some really big ones, and we did catch some really big crappie, and target those fish. In other words, one is 11 foot out and 18 foot down, holding right on the edge of a limb. You could see the limb. You can see the crappie. You can see the jig going down. And the key is to stop the jig above the crappie and then slowly ease it down right in front of that crappie's nose. But I'll tell you a challenge that I had the first time I fished with the live scope, and this time when I was actually fishing. You can see the fish on the screen, and I get so absorbed in watching that screen. A couple of the nice fish, I know they were nice ones because I could see them on the screen. I dropped that bait down, and when I saw the fish, he might be 6 inches from the bait, a foot maybe. But when he made his move, you could see him on that screen. I would instinctively jerk that rod tip up, and I missed a couple. And Seth reminded me, say, wait, regardless of what you see on that screen, wait till you feel that fish. But once you learn, you watch the screen and you see the fish make the move, then you are wired and ready. You've got all the slack out of your line, and you're ready for that fish to telegraph that bite up through the line to your rod. It's a little bit different fishing. In other words, if you don't see it on the screen, it's not going to happen. Now, granted, you might drop your bait down into a huge school of fish, say 50 or 80 crappie. You can't see them take the bait, but you see all those fish. You stay wired and ready because that strike could come at any second when you're fishing in the middle of a big school of them. The live scope, folks, it's fairly new. I've known about them for a couple of years. I think Seth has probably been using one for a couple of years. But Seth tells me he fishes Lake of the Pines a lot, too, and Fork. You know, he guides on both those lakes. But he says in the wintertime there's some certain spots down there at Lake of the Pines where the fish congregate in big schools. He said it's not uncommon to see a bunch of boats using live scope. So, you know, it's not to say you can't still go to that old boat arc tree you fish forever and drop some live minnows down and catch crappie. You still can. That's the old school method and the method that many of us still use. But as far as the use of the sonar, the live scope, it is most definitely a big time game changer in the way you fish for crappie. And I was asking Seth about using it for catfish, and he says, and he made a good point. He said, well, Luke, you know, it works great for catfish, but what you really don't need it for catfish, a channel cat especially. Now, maybe targeting trophy blues in the wintertime, it would be really, really helpful, but channel cat, go out and throw some range cubes out around any standing structure in water 15 to 20 foot deep. At a lake like Fork right now, you're going to catch some catfish. So you turn your live scope on, you know what you're going to see. You're going to see a school of catfish down there. But crappie are a little different. You know, they move from one bit of structure to the other, and that live scope is a good way to actually scout. I kind of relate it to hunting. The image, folks, that you see on the live scope reminds me a whole lot of night vision. If you were, you know, especially when you're scanning horizontally there, it looks like the digital night scope. I use a digital night scope for hunting hogs. It's called a Wraith, made by Sightmark. And you know, it works on IR. It illuminates whatever's in front of you there. It looks a whole lot like that on this live scope. It looks like you're almost in the woods looking around, you know, when you're around vertical timber. But you can see everything under the water. Big bass, you'll see those swimming by while you're crappie fishing. Seth will point out, man, there's a monster bass. It may be a 10-pounder, you know, swimming through, but it's easy to pick the crappie out. Now, let's move on. Now, if you want to get a hold of Seth Vanover, he's easy to find. Lake Fork Cat and Crappie on Facebook. You might want to like that, Lake Fork Cat and Crappie, or go to his website, lakeforkcatandcrappie.com. And if you've never fished with a live scope a live scope, it's an experience for you. One I'd recommend if you enjoy catching lots of fish. I've made a post. I was thinking about a future newspaper column. You know, I write the weekly newspaper column now that's in 42 Texas papers, newspapers. And I was thinking, I grew up eating fish. And I thought, let me put a post on here. What is your favorite freshwater fish to eat? And now, this is not catching them. We're talking about cooking them and eating them. And I think I got something like 75 replies. I knew it would strike a chord with fish eaters all over. And I'm going to write my column probably next week on that topic, catching and cooking freshwater fish. Now, by and large, crappie probably was the number one. It probably outranked catfish. Catfish would be a second. Most of the people, many of them, mentioned crappie. Many of them did, and many mentioned catfish too. But you know, a serious catfish eater, which kind of catfish are you talking about, Luke? I got those kind of remarks too. Are we talking about a flathead, a smaller flathead, up to say 10 pounds? In my opinion, it's as good as it gets. But not many people fish for flathead catfish anymore. You know, we used to catch them on trot lines a lot, but they prefer live bait, and you need to be fishing with a live perch or something to really successfully catch them. Blue catfish, I absolutely love blue catfish, especially those 2 to 5 pounders. Channel catfish, they're awesome. Now, granted, a channel catfish in the summer will have a little yellow fat around him. Just trim that off. I've learned that you can put them in buttermilk and hot sauce, and you can't even, you know, you don't even need to trim the yellow. But I do. A little sliver of yellow meat on a channel catfish. You fishermen know what I'm talking about. That's easy to trim off. But when I write the column, I cannot pick one fish that I like the best, and that's the truth. I love blue catfish. I love crappie. Crappie are a neutral flavored fish to me. I love striper, hybrid striper. But I think the way that maybe I could help some people is tell them how, in other words, a striper has to be prepared a lot different than a crappie to make it the way I like it. You need to remove the red meat, which is easy to do. There's a strip right down the middle, and then a bigger striper will have the red meat on the skin, on the outside of the fillet. Trim that off, bake that in the oven or basil and butter and a little garlic and salt and pepper. To me, that's as good as fish gets. Love that. Sand bass are the same way. Remove most of the red meat, and I like to put white bass in buttermilk and hot sauce for about an hour or 2 or 3 hours in the refrigerator, and then cornmeal and flour, and fry it when it's crispy. Yellow bass are excellent. This will be a shocker for many people. Freshwater drum are excellent eating fish. They're really good. Most people frown when they hear me talk about eating drum, but you can fry them up, and I guarantee you people can't tell the difference from them and sand bass. They probably could tell the difference from them and stripers or even crappie because of the texture, but freshwater drum are excellent eating. Folks, I wish we had about 5 hours. I'm just getting warmed up visiting with all of you, but we are out of time for today's show. Remember, catfishradio.org. You can go there and learn a lot about what I do and listen to some audio and watch some videos there. Make sure and tune in next week at this same time. We're going to have some more fun. Folks, today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Air Force Air Guns, Smoke In Tex Electric Smokers, Sitemark, Texas Raised Hunting Products, Pyramid Air, Striper Express up on Lake Texoma, Mill Creek Ranch Resort at Canton, United Country Texas Landmark Properties, The Best of Texas Barbecue Sauce, and Nielsen Specialty Ammo.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.